you to turn to Isaiah chapter 40. Isaiah chapter 40, starting in verse number 28. Hast thou not known, hast thou not heard, that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary, there is no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increases strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew or exchange their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. Amen. The end times, the Bible tells us that there will be many running to and fro, and the design is to wear out the saints. I don't think anybody gets worn out because of too much church. I think we get worn out because we got too many things going on in our lives, and we try to stretch those lives into every aspect. And God is saying, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. All these things will be added. Really what we're looking for is something that'll satisfy. Amen. And there isn't any place that'll satisfy you more than in the house of God. Amen. And then if you turn to Deuteronomy, the 32nd chapter. Deuteronomy chapter 32 and verse number 9. For the Lord's portion is his people. Jacob is the lot of his inheritance. He found him in a desert land and in the waste, howling wilderness. He led him about. He instructed him. He kept him as the apple of his eye. And as an eagle stirreth up her nest, fluttereth over her young, spreadeth abroad her wings, taketh them, beareth them on her wings. So the Lord alone did lead him, and there was no strange God with them. He made him ride on the high places of the earth, that he might eat the increase of the fields, and he made him to suck honey out of the rock and oil out of a flint rock. Lord, we ask your blessing upon the word of God this morning, that you would make it alive, let it be pertinent to each and every one of us. God, let us see ourselves in your word. It's a reflection of who we are and what state we're at. And God, will give you the praise and the glory in your wonderful name. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. The eagle is the symbol of America. Back when they were issuing gold, the most prized piece of money was a double eagle. And even today, it's sought after. A couple of years ago, my wife and I went up to Minocqua in the fall just for a couple of days to get away. It's one of our favorite places to go. And we were standing on a pier outside of the hotel we were standing at, and my wife said to me, boy, I'd love to see an eagle. They say there's so many eagles up here, but I've never seen an eagle. And as she said that, I said, you mean like that one? And we watched this eagle, how it just manipulated and maneuvered its wings, and it never flapped its wings. It would go up and it would go down, and it would ride the winds, and it was just so majestic. There's something about the eagle, and God uses the eagle as an example for what he would like us to be. Not the sparrow, but the eagle. Some of us consider ourselves just sparrows, cowbirds, chickens, you know? But God's saying, you know what, why don't you soar a little higher with me? Throughout the scripture, God has used nature and animals to declare to us what he really wants us to do. Jesus was called the Lamb of God, giving an illustration of the nature of God. When you look at a lamb, You see this innocency there. No one's ever afraid of a lamb, but that's the nature of God. The devil is called the roaring lion. It tells you what kind of nature he has. The Lord was of the tribe of Judah, meaning the tribe of praise, and he's all about worship, all about praise. The picture we get in Isaiah 40 and Deuteronomy 32 is that God wants us to be like an eagle. Now, before you can ever become an eagle, you first have to become an eaglet, a little eagle, you know? Someone sitting in a nest. Too many people want to fly before they can even walk. You know, I want to bypass all of the lessons. I want to bypass, you know what, I don't need discipline. I can just do what God is telling me to do. But you know what, there has to be some training involved in order to leave the nest. We must be born of the water and born of the Spirit, but that doesn't guarantee character in our lives or power in our lives. And I can't tell you how many people I baptized in Jesus' name who have been filled with the Holy Ghost, and then where are they? Because they never stuck around for the lessons, for the discipline, for the character to build in their life. Just because you're born of the Spirit doesn't mean that you know how to walk in the Spirit. There's a sensitivity of God that has to be learned by each and every one of us. Each of us must be led by the Holy Ghost, trained up, and then discipled by God. That's why we can be called disciples of Christ, because we have some form of restriction or discipline within our lives. Deuteronomy 32 and 11 said, "As an eagle stirreth up the nest, fluttereth over her young, spreadeth abroad her wings, taketh them and beareth them on her wings, so is the process God puts us through to be able to go into high places, a place that others do never get to." Ever see a sparrow going up about 5,000 feet, you know? You just don't see other birds rising to the level of the eagle because they just don't have the mentality or even the equipment in order to do that. We have been very comfortable in our Pentecostal heritage. And I love our Pentecostal heritage. I love what we feel when we come into the presence of God. I'm glad that people aren't looking at the watches and what time do we have to get out of here, and everybody leaves at the same time. They love to be in the presence of God. We enjoy that presence and all of the blessings that it brings, but let us learn a lesson from the mother eagle. Amen. The Bible says she stirred up her nest. Nobody else can stir up the nest like a mother eagle. In fact, nobody even gets that high. And nobody can stir up your nest except God, because he has the right to give us an uncomfortable feeling about our existence in the Spirit. Sometimes he's got to stir it up a little bit. Sometimes we get the idea, well, God doesn't love me because of making me uncomfortable. But no, that is God's process. It's time for us to move a little on. You know, you can't be an eaglet forever. Sometimes you got to try your wings. At the beginning of the eaglet's existence, he just doesn't do anything. The mother and the father build a nice large nest lined with feathers and twigs and make it very comfortable, and life is good. You know, they get takeout every day. New converts have a nice large nest and they never see any problems in the church. Everything is just so wonderful. And even if they fall down in the middle of the worship, they get up and they love God, you know. The eaglet gets that takeout delivery several times a day. All they have to do is open their mouth and swallow. And some of us, we sat on the pew and all we have to do is open our mouth and swallow. We really don't have nice pews, aren't they? It's so much fun being an eaglet. You just sit there and mama drops a piece of rabbit in your mouth. And then one day, mama comes back to the nest and just hovers. "Hey, where's the food?" No, she just flutters her wings over the nest. The eaglet opens wide, but nothing is there, and then the unthinkable happens. She begins to stir up the nest. Out go the feathers, Then a portion of the nest is ripped apart. Then another portion of the nest is dropped over the cliff. And now all of a sudden, it's not so comfortable anymore. Mom, what's going on? Imagine one eaglet looking at the other and say, what in the good sense is going on? Mom's had a bad day at the office and we're not getting food. Did we do something wrong that we're not getting rabbit? Usually she just drops off lunch and then goes for dinner. You know, and we just digest and sit here and it's nice and warm. But today she's tearing things up. Everything that makes us comfortable now, all of a sudden, boy, it's just not as comfortable as it used to be. Church, this may surprise you, but God is not interested just in our comfort. He is very interested in developing Christian character in our lives, but that only happens after we become a little uncomfortable in just sitting there. You know, denominational churches, all they are required is just come, sit, 20 minutes later, walk out. But you know what? It's more than that when the church of the living God, he wants our character to be developed and he wants us to be profitable for the kingdom of God. Amen. Employers will not stand for somebody who just comes and sits and does nothing. Amen. And why would God continue to bless us if we just come and do nothing, waiting for another meal? Come on! Amen. We have this wrong concept. We have it all backwards. Our whole lives are set upon making us comfortable. We get a better job and make more money. We sacrifice for a better home and vacations. And all of those things are good. There's nothing wrong with them until they spill over into the realm of the spirit. You have to come to the conclusion, listen, this isn't just about being here and being comfortable. God has not called us just to, you know, put us in our rose-covered garden. And all of the blessings of God are to make us more comfortable? Not really. Don't be surprised if God stirs up your nest in hopes that one day you'll soar. You'll take a leap. You'll go a little further. Now, this message is really for Sunday night, and I hope you don't mind. The Bible says that the Spirit led Jesus into the wilderness after his baptism. And there, while he was in the wilderness, he fasted for 40 days, and he was tempted by the devil. We blame the devil, but the devil didn't lead him into the wilderness. He was led by the Spirit of God into the wilderness. And so sometimes we blame the devil. Why is this happening to me? How come it's not comfortable anymore? And God's saying, well, there's some movement that I want. I want you to advance the kingdom of God, you see. We blame situations of our lives on the devil. I said to a pastor yesterday at a ministerial meeting, the devil is the gift that keeps on giving. He really is. I believe that God has used the devil as an instrument in order to develop his saints, you know. But put on the whole armor of God and stand. Amen. You need to stand. I had a missionary call me a couple of weeks ago, and he quoted that scripture in Ephesians, the 6th chapter, about putting on the whole armor of God. He said, are you dressed to kill? Are you dressed to kill? Or you're just being wounded because you haven't put on the whole armor of God. Don't you understand? We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers in high places. And some of these things that come against us are for our advantage because God wants to give you a promotion. He wants to sometimes push you out of the nest. God delivers us out of all of those things, but sometimes we have to pick up the sword. You know, God uses the devil to build our character, and without the adversary, would we develop our Christian character on our own? Could God be stirring up our nest so we pray more and fast more and weep for souls? After the mother eagle tears up the nest, she flutters over the nest, and she lets the eaglets get a good look at her wingspan. You know, look. Look, This is what you can be. God is always demonstrating to us, look what you can be. You can walk in the Spirit, but you'll have to try. She then gets a hold of the eaglet and nudges it to the edge of the cliff. What in the world is Mama doing? I thought she loved me. Have you ever gotten to the place where God's moving you to the edge of the cliff and you're thinking, God, I've been living for you. Do you not love me? But he wants to advance us to another level, to another realm of the Spirit. But you know what? If we won't do that on our own, well, God has a special school. With no intention of going off the cliff by itself, the mother gives that little last push, and then you hear the scream as that eaglet falls like a rock, screaming all the way down, not knowing what to do. Then suddenly there is this whoosh of majestic wings, and the eaglet falls on the back of a feathery mattress, pow, right on Mama's back. And the eaglet, well, falls, and then have you ever gotten to the place where you said, okay, God, that lesson's good for the month? I think I got it. You don't have to. And then God says, get on the edge again. Because you really haven't really spread out your own wings. The pastor caught you. Your friends supported you. But I want you to be able to soar, not just watch somebody in the church soar. I want you to spread out your wings. Hallelujah. After the mother deposits him back on the cliff, she then bumps him off again, and about the third or fourth time of the eaglet discovering, you know, that I'm falling like a rock, well, perhaps out of desperation, she starts flapping her little bitty wings. Oh, that first solo flight must be a thrill to Mom. Oh, that first solo flight must be a thrill to God. Amen. We walk in here and all we expect is to be fed, and then God pushes us to a point where, hey, don't you want to go for a little ride? Don't you want to be with me? That first time, perhaps, you brought in a message in tongues and interpretation, the first time you ever preached a message or taught a Bible study, or the first time you ever found your feet going wild in a song service. Church, the Holy Ghost has given each of us the equipment in order to fly. It's a shame that we won't use what God has given us. And some have never gotten to the edge where God could push them off and use them in a greater capacity. Paul said to Timothy in 2 Timothy 1 and 6, stir up the gift of God that is in you. Use the gift that you have, which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. Isaiah 40 and 31 said, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. You got to wait. You know what? We wait a lot in this church because we want God to have his way here. We're not going to be interrupting our program. Amen. No, we want God to interrupt us as often as he possibly can. Amen. Notice that the Holy Ghost was specific to say mount up, not flap up. We sometimes, as Pentecostals, are flappers, trying to get some movement of God's Spirit. You know, let's come on, let's generate this thing. Let's get it moving, you know. Sometimes I go to conferences or even camps from time to time, and there's some evangelist or some song leader who's trying to get this thing moving. Come on, let's get flapping. And God's saying, no. It's not the flapping. Eagles always catch the current of air. You will never see them flapping in the sky. They're always cruising and finding the air currents. And church, we have to learn somehow to find the current of the Holy Ghost in every church service. Is that it? Let's go a little higher. They wait. Something about us Pentecostals, we don't like to wait. They'd wait upon the Lord. They wait for the right current of air before they launch off a cliff. You know, you can go to the best restaurant in the whole world, but if you sit and wait and wait and wait, you're never going to go back to there. But it's opposite with God. Those that wait upon the Lord. I'm not talking about how long I'm going to have to wait, but what about waiting on God? What is it that you would have me to do? So, according to what I saw, that they can actually soar for hours up to 5,000 feet because they know the current like no other bird knows the current. I've had people say, how long do you stay in church? Well, we're just soaring. This is kind of fun, you know? And we're not on a time limit. John 3:8 says, the wind bloweth where it listeth or where it chooses. So we don't decide, the weatherman doesn't decide, well, it's going to come out of the northwest this afternoon, and then we're going to decide it's going to come out of the southeast. No, the wind bloweth where it listeth or chooses, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. Church, it is time for us to spread our Holy Ghost wings and start soaring because we know about the current or the moving of God's Spirit. We need to pick up the Spirit and become sensitive to the Holy Ghost, and God will take us higher, and not just in church. As we heard this morning in the car, presence of God filled the car. When's the last time that happened to you? When's the last time God nudged you in the middle of the day or the middle of the night because he's saying, hey, you know what? Want to go for a flight? Jeremiah 49 and verse number 16 says this, make thy nest or dwelling place as high as the eagle. Eagles live high. And eagles live separate lives. You don't see them dwelling with crows or blackbirds or sparrows. And we too are called to set high goals and high ambitions. We too are separated from other birds. There is an eagle spirit in each of us that wants to soar higher, wants to get higher. I'm always amazed that somehow we have the misconception that if I have a position within the church, I can soar higher, when God is saying, no, that'll never satisfy you. What will really satisfy you is soaring with me by yourself in worship. When you get to the high places with God, it doesn't matter if it's in the church or in your car or wherever you are, you know, you're completely satisfied. God, just let me be in your presence. That's what I felt Thursday night. They're simple people who just wanted to get a hold of God, and it didn't matter what the time was. Their service starts at 7:30. We were there at 7:45. They got there about 7:45 or so, but there's no rush. You know, they that wait upon the Lord's kind of waiting upon them, but they just take their time. Let's get a hold of God. Hallelujah. And maybe we get too sophisticated in our schedules and our timings. I'm sorry, God, you're infringing on my lunch today. No, they that wait upon the Lord, we're not waiting upon him. Hallelujah. How do we do that? Well, do it by seeking him. Draw nigh unto God and he'll draw nigh unto you. When we get to the place where we'll worship in the good times and the bad times, we'll worship God when we don't feel like worshiping God, then God's saying, yeah, you can soar with me. There is never a cloudy day for an eagle because they just rise above the clouds. Have you ever been in that airplane and it's a lousy day in Milwaukee and you fly out and within a few minutes you bust through the clouds and it's beautiful up there. You know, it's not even that high. Maybe 10,000 feet, you're above the clouds and you're saying, hey, this is good. So with an eagle, it doesn't matter, rain or shine, he's always got the sun. We need to learn to experience the heights of God without flapping our wings, without programs, without some kind of parade that we can produce, because, you know, it's all about what he can produce, not us. We need to learn to read the air currents when the wind of God is moving, and wait on God. And I think our church does well at that. We're spontaneous, because some of you, just any little current of air, you got the wings out and you're ready. Let's get to the altar, you know? Thank God for that. We don't have to beg somebody. I'm the worst person to give an altar call, because I just say the altar's open and everybody starts coming, you know? But there are churches saying, please, please come to the altar. No. We're just following the current of air. Take your Bibles and turn to Proverbs 30. Proverbs chapter 30 and verse number 18. Solomon, the wisest man who ever lived, says this: "There be three things which are too wonderful for me, yea, four which I know not. The way of the eagle in the air." That's amazing to me. Now, back then, he observed the same thing that we observe. Wow, look at that thing soar, and he's not moving his wings. He's not flapping. It's amazing. "The way of the serpent upon the rock, the way of the ship in the midst of a sea, and the way of a man with a maid." And what it's really saying here is the way of the serpent on a rock is referring to the continuing feud between the church and the adversary, or the devil. The serpent is the devil and the rock is the church. It amazes me. "The way of the ship in the midst of the sea" is the church in the midst of storms and troubles and battles that we're going through. We don't come into the church and there's this perfect peace. Well, we have a perfect peace in the middle of the storm with our God, but there's always some turmoil going on one place or another. And "the way of the man with the maid" is Christ with the church, which is amazing, the intimacy that we can have with the God who created all of heaven and all of earth. Amazing, he's saying. "And the way of the man." In order to mount up, it takes wings. It takes prayer. It takes praise. And we want to get higher and higher and higher. A few of us were fasting last week, and I'll tell you what, there's nothing that elevates you more or puts you in the presence of God. It's not like fasting forces God to do anything for you, but we become so sensitive to the Spirit of God that we ride on the high places. It's like God is right there. Because we're willing to deny ourselves, we must take the time to wait upon the Lord. We're a society that rushes everything. We have instant everything, but we cannot have instant church. Come on. As that old saint that I pastored 26 years ago used to say, "Make it snappy and we'll be happy." Well, she never lasted. God created lots of different birds. Amen. We have this bird feeder out there. I can hardly keep it full because there's so many birds around, but most of them are low flyers, you know, crows and blackbirds and sparrows, and they all have wings, but they're all low flyers. Ostrich, I have no idea why they put wings on ostriches in the first place, you know? Glory to God. You're just flapping around, but they never leave the ground. And you know what? I don't want to be a church that just flaps around and never leaves the ground, you know? We're just a bunch of low flyers, you know? In and out, never get to the place where we really see the sun. Satisfied with being close to the ground. They need a flock to be comfortable. But the eagle flies high and he always is alone except for his mate. I've never ever seen a flock of eagles anywhere. I don't need any of you to get high, but I need him to get high, you see? Oh, it's nice to flock together, but I'll tell you what, we can do this by ourselves. You know, when we don't have church service, he flies high. You won't find an eagle sitting on a telephone pole next to a crow.
Right.
You know, it just doesn't seem right.
Right.
I was raised on a farm, and we always had chickens. I still, to this day, love the sound of clucking chickens. In fact, we go over to Meadows Restaurant, and they have chickens in the back, and I always get the back table so I can watch the chickens or something. You can take the boy out of the farm, but you can't take the farm out of the boy. But I've noticed, you know what I've seen with those chickens there, they're always looking down. They're always pecking in the dirt, scratching in the dirt. And if another chicken gets too close, they peck on that chicken, you know? They got wings, but the highest they go is the lowest perch. And then they're satisfied, you know? But I don't want to be a chicken of Pentecost. And we can. We can get to the place where you're just always scratching in the dirt, picking at other birds, you know? Trying to find something close to the ground when God's saying, you know what? The real adventure is up there. Get to a level of the Spirit. You know, they say that deep sea divers go through a phenomena when they get so deep that they have a call to the deep and they don't want to come back up. And there have been a number of divers who have died because of the euphoria that happens when they get so deep. I don't know if it's the pressure of the water or the lack of oxygen that is pushed out of their body. But we can also get to the place where we're so high in God that nothing bothers us at all, of euphoria that causes us to love everybody and love everything. But if you're a low flyer, everything is a problem. Everything. I don't like this and I don't like that. Glory to God. I'm glad God sees us as potential eagles rather than cowbirds. The eagle has two sets of eyelids. One set of eyelids covers their eyes when they are going after prey on the ground. I mean, they can be at the top of a tree and they can spy a rabbit or a mouse and go down and pick it out with, they have eagle's eyes. But they have another set of eyelids that kicks in when they get up to like 2, 3, 4, 5,000 feet. And it's another eyelid that comes over their eye in order to protect them from the pressure. But they say that they can look directly into the sun like no other bird can. You know, this stuff will preach, folks, if you'll let it.
Amen.
We can get to the place where we can look into the face of Jesus Christ in everything that happens to us because we're flying high in the Spirit of God. Jesus said, John 3:3, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." And we have a special insight in the realm of the Spirit that no other birds have. We get to the place where we see things and we can even tell other birds about it. But they don't believe us because they've never been up there. You know, they've just been hanging around on the telephone poles. When we're decided we're going higher, we've seen some things from our advantage that nobody else has seen. You ought to come up higher. We're comfortable down here. I know you. You're a little fanatical about getting higher. We have 20/20 vision in the kingdom of God. So how are your frequent flyer miles doing? Got any accumulated? Or was the last time you really got high when you got the Holy Ghost? Was it that service that we had about a month ago when there wasn't any preaching? I'm just not satisfied with a flight every month or so. I'd like to get to that place in God as often as I possibly can. Some of you perhaps are in different stages. Perhaps God has been pulling out the feathers and you're a little uncomfortable because it's just not the way it was. You know, you have this baby that you bring home. Brother and Sister Mundy are about to have another baby. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. So you bring that baby home, and you know what? Mom just hardly leaves the baby down and rocks it and cradles it and feeds it and makes goo-goo eyes and all of these things. But then I can't believe how big the coffee's little boy is since we last saw him, and now he's just walking around. It wasn't that long ago that she was pregnant in our gymnasium, and now this baby is going out on its own adventure. And sometimes we come into the church, every time we walk into the church, the hands of God are all over us. And then one service, God takes his hands off of us, and we don't feel the presence of God like we did before. And we're saying, God, are you angry? No, I want you to start walking on your own. I want you to be able to explore for yourself. I want you now to walk towards me rather than me gathering you up in my arms all of the time. You're growing up. I want you to go further. Be a bad deal if you're 12 years old and mom is still cradling you, you know. Glory to God. Maybe you're at the edge of the cliff and God's about to give you a little push. It's all right. Don't go screaming into the night. You know, you put into effect all of the preaching and all of the teaching that you have heard. We say we're standing on the promises with God. Well, now it's time to more than just stand on the promises, but exercise the promises of God in your life. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. So don't settle for a low-flying experience. You need to get to the place where you soar with God, because that's really what God wants us to do. He wants us to go up higher and higher and higher. Don't settle for something that'll just satisfy for a little bit. Have an experience with God. On a Monday, you should be able to go on to the job and say, you know what happened to me on Sunday? We were soaring with Jesus. Glory to God. Able to leap tall buildings in a single bound. One more scripture, if our musicians would come. Psalms 91. Psalms chapter 91, very familiar scripture for all of us. Verse number 1, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge, my fortress, my God. In him will I trust. Surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night. I'm talking to somebody this morning. You don't need to wake up in the middle of the night and be frightened, because you got a God that is right there with you. He wrote it down. It's in the Word. Amen. Nor by the arrow that flieth by night, nor for the pestilence that walketh in the darkness, nor for the destruction that wastes at noontime. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked, because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation. There shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling, for he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and adder, the young lion and the dragon shalt thou trample under feet. Because he hath set his love upon me, there will I deliver him. I will set him on high, because he hath known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. He's talking about us, church. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. The devil has only quoted scripture once, and it was this 10th verse. He said to Jesus, there shall, no, it's 11, for he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. That verse irritates the devil like no other verse in the entire Bible. Oh yeah, you got an angel taking care of you. Glory to God. Yes, I do. I got the loves us to the point where he'll deliver us and keep us. Amen. But I just don't want to be a kept saint. I want to soar with him. I want to go higher. I want this year to be the best year that we have ever had. I want to extend myself like I have never extended myself. God, give me the strength and the energy to do more for you than just sitting in the nest waiting for my next meal. God, push me off the cliff if that's what it takes. I want to get higher, higher, higher with you. Jesus, help us, God. Be the church that soars with you. Thank you, Lord. Would you stand with me? Hallelujah. Why don't you let God do something great for you this year? Glory to God, glory to God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. He said, prove me. Prove me.